You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we'll be looking ahead to the action at Perth, Worcester, Bath and Kempton on this edition. Sam Norris here, joined in the studio by Paddy Aspel, who's going to look ahead to four contests for us as well as a quick spin through the latest racing news. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good form, Sam. How are you?
Good. Yeah, not bad at all, thank you. Are you adjusting into the world of riding again? Easing yourself back in?
Yeah, definitely. Keeping as busy as I can and doing a bit of both, jump and flat. But no, can't complain. I'm enjoying it. And it's nice to come in here and do a little bit as well, help you guys out, and I enjoy it. So no, it's all good.
Yeah, good stuff. Do you have a preference between the codes?
Not really. Probably maybe ideally, look, you'd prefer to be doing flat racing because it's your first job, really.
Yeah.
But no, I enjoy the jumping because, you know, I do like working with them jump lads. They're a real good bunch and just makes a nice change and keeps your eye in, Sam.
Yeah, indeed. It's slightly less dangerous as well, I'd imagine, flat racing compared to jumping.
Yeah, obviously. But, you know, it's like I say, it is something that I enjoy and it makes you appreciate them when you do go flat racing. Yeah. Sort of really how I think it justifies that you're not exactly working for a living, if I'm honest. The jumping boys are, you know, proper top men and tough men, and it just sort of, because I've been out of that game really about 5 years, but it brings back memories as to how tough it was. And you know, this flat job is, if you can do the weight, I can't exactly call it working for a living, if I'm honest.
Yeah, really. Oh, good stuff. Easy enough for you to keep the weight down, or is it diet sauna job?
It has always been tough for me, but it's typical this time since I've come back. You know, my weight's good and I'm struggling to get rides.
All right.
But my weight's better than probably it ever has been. But look, that's the way it goes. But if the rides come available, it's at least I can do the weight. And I mean, the lighter you can do, the bigger window it gives you as regards getting rides. But then that said, if you want to ride some jumping, you can't really be turning up to jump meetings 8-7. So,
yeah.
You know, because if you're riding average horses and they're having to carry that sort of weight, you are denting their chances. But no, so look, like I say, can't complain.
Good stuff. We'll take a quick spin through some of the news first of all then before we move on to Wednesday's action. First of all, the Eclipse coming up this weekend from Sandown, always one of the more hotly anticipated races of the year. And Roger Charlton over the last few days, Paddy, has been sort of not exactly talking time test up, but basically saying it is likely that we're going to run him despite the fact that the ground is not optimum for him. We've seen him be withdrawn from you know, meetings in America, meetings in Ireland, when the ground hasn't been optimum. It doesn't look at the moment, although we've had a dry day at Sandown today, it doesn't look as though he's going to get his ground. But Roger Charlton, from the sounds of it, keen to test him anyway on the surface.
Yeah, it looks, I suppose in a way you could say it's a pity because his hand is being slightly forced now, isn't it? Because time's getting on and, you know, they took him to Ireland and didn't run him in the Tatscall Cup because they just thought it was on the far too much on the easy side for him. But yeah, it is disappointing. But look, in another way, I admire Roger Charlton because he's saying, well, look, the ground is what it is and we're going to go. I mean, he has lost his grip on favouritism. But then again, although the Gurkha was beat at Ascot, you know, albeit maybe slightly unlucky the way the race was run, but, you know, he's still been to Ascot. He's had a hard race, whereas although Roger Charlton's horse is turning up on not ideal ground, he's going to be a nice fresh horse. And you know, we've seen how good he is, and they've been confident enough to supplement the pacemaker.
Yeah.
You know, which obviously, you know, it's not cheap, and you know they're certainly making they're putting plenty of thought into it, and I hope they are rewarded. And I think they could well be. You know, I mean, they've had waterlogged ground there, whereas it's not like the recent rain, you know, sort of the last few days, that it's going to be desperately bad ground. It's just taken a while to come back from being waterlogged. Mm. But I hope it pays off for him, because he's a fine horse, and we've not seen him for a while. And like I say, I hope their patience and finance is rewarded.
Yeah. And as you say there, if you are thinking about backing him, the addition of the pacemaker will probably go some way to reassure you. I know Khalid Abdullah can obviously spare the cash for the supplementary fee for the pacemaker, but it would sort of go some ways to reassure you, the fact that they've gone to the trouble of putting the pacemaker in. Looks likely that he will go there now. How much do you buy into the saying that we hear quite a bit, that the best horses go on all kinds of ground?
Yeah, you do hear it, don't you? But, I mean, look, I suppose when there's such fine margins with such good horses, you know, every inch counts. I know it is a saying that's used, that they win on any ground.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not a strong believer in that. I think you're going to see different performances. I mean, you can take the performance of the American 2-year-old at Ascot.
Lady Aurelia. Yeah.
I mean, that performance... And then people are still saying, well, God, imagine if we've seen her on some decent ground.
Yeah.
You know, but still, that performance in itself, because Andy Holden, you know, who's a big, big speed figure man.
Well, it nearly broke his clock, didn't it, I think?
Yeah, he said it's the quickest he's ever seen. And, you know, so conditions, yeah, maybe if you did get quicker ground, the ones in behind could finish closer. Mm. And it mightn't be as good a performance on the ice. So, look, it's all down to opinion, but... No, I'll be looking forward to seeing time test, and like I say, I hope connections are rewarded, because like I say, we've not seen him for a while, and I think it will be due reward if he does go and win, but it'll be no walkover.
Yeah, indeed. Just a quick word then on a couple of the other contenders, Paddy. Obviously, the Gurkha we touched on there, short now at 11-10, was considered by many quite an unlucky winner of the St. James's. We've got quite an unlucky loser, sorry, of the St. James Palace. We've got My Dreamboat in there, 11-4, who definitely will go in the ground. Hawkbill, who's been entered up now by Godolphin again at the supplementary stage. He's won his last five in a row, including in Group 3 company last time. So this looks the next logical step for him. He'll have three decent horses at the head of affairs to take him on with time test.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the Godolphin horse, like you say, there's no getting away from it. He's unbeaten in his last five. And just looks very, very progressive. And you know, they've also gone to the trouble of supplementing him, which would install confidence. But... You know, the Clive Cox horse looks very tough. He's very likeable. And to say, I think it was a fantastic ride by Adam Kirby.
Yes.
In where the part of the track that he challenged. Because getting back to Andy Holding again, I'm a big Andy Holding fan. I just think he talks a lot of sense and he really goes into depth and looks at some important points. And for him, he thought that was the best part of the track at Ascot. Probably by that stage of the meeting.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a fantastic ride, but for a horse to challenge solely on his own out there and to battle so hard, it was a very admirable performance. And I know for a fact, by seeing interviews with Clive Cox, he's crazy about the horse, and as is Adam Kirby. And I think it was justified that day in his attitude he showed to win. It'll be a fantastic race.
Yeah, certainly will. Really looking forward to the Eclipse then, that coming up on Saturday from Sandown. We're going to move ahead though to matters closer at hand now. We'll take a look at four races on Wednesday. We've got four different meetings and both codes involved here, so a little bit of something for everyone. We begin with the 3:40 at Perth, obviously a regular on the Summer Jumps calendar is Perth. This is a handicap chase over just shy of 3 miles. Eight runners go down for the 3:40, so each way options are available in a plenty for this one. Where did you land on, Paddy?
I was actually going to go for one of the bigger price ones. Down at the foot of the weights, Sam, Dr. Maloney, for the Stuart Crawford yard. He's only got 10-2 to carry here, but the application of the tongue strap last time was a big help to him. And he's actually been freshened up. We've not seen him for 52 days. And Andrew Lynch takes the ride. And he generally does run his race. It's quite competitive. I mean, for me, Bolts O'Brien... He won last day, but literally by default, because he got to such a low mark, you know, for such a high-grade horse in his time. He really looked like he'd lost the will to win. But fair play to Lucinda. She did get his head back in front. But for me, he's not the horse he once was. Certainly over fences, anyway. And I just thought, off a mark of 111 with only 10 stone 2 on his back. He's getting a nice bit of weight all round. This is a competitive race and it's a good pot to the winner, nearly $9,500. But I was going to go for a little bit of value in that Perth race with Dr. Maloney at the bottom.
Yeah, Dr. Maloney then on the tissue, a double figure price for that 340 at Perth, gets the nod for Paddy Aspel. We stay jumping now with the 350 at Worcester. Just 10 minutes later, we're over the hurdles this time. A handicap hurdle here over 2.5 miles. 11 runners in this one. Talk us through the field, Paddy.
The one I fancied here, Sam, was the Henderson horse Ballinuer. He's been very, very consistent. This horse and gets on very well with Jerry McGrath one last time. I mean, he has gone up in grade and he won off 112 the last day. He's now up to 117, but certainly looks like a real improver. This horse, even for a 6-year-old, he's low mileage, but he's going forward now. And Nicky Henderson, with his summer candidates that he has run so far, and particularly Jerry McGrath riding them, they've had quite a reasonably good summer together. Quite a good strike rate, and like I say, although he is stepping up in grade, he's certainly going the right direction, and he is low mileage, and he was my selection there, Sam.
Okay, Ballinuer in the 350 at Worcester. Let's take in some flat action now. We start on the turf at Bath. This is their 7:30. Mile and 5 furlongs is the trip facing the 6 runners for this one. A small field, but quite a tight little one, I suppose.
Yep, same thing. We're not big on numbers here, but we're certainly not lacking on quality. But it was very hard to get away from the Sir Mark horse. Just looks a typical Sir Mark horse. He's improving with every race and every increase in trip. You know, good performance the last day. We have got to take on trust that he's going to manage the slightly easy ground at Bath there tomorrow. I mean, generally it's a track that don't water, and we associate Bath with normally just straight firm ground. But tomorrow it's going to be the other way. They're at the minute they're looking soft, good to soft. But if he can manage that, he is certainly unexposed. He is low mileage, and won well the last day, going up in grade again. But off a mark of 76, like I say, he seems to be improving with every step up and trip, as the bulk of these Sir Mark horses do. Just very, very tough. They don't often win pretty on the eye. They generally tend to grind it out. And Luke Morris, you will often find it. I wouldn't be too worried if he's hard at work early doors, because generally Sir Mark's race a little bit like that. But they've got a good man on board to persist in Luke Morris. I think it's one of the traits that Sir Mark rates him on. He is a hard working jockey, both in and out of the saddle. He's an active jockey, so don't let the punters be put off by that. But I don't think this horse has finished improving, and I think he could have this race still within his grasp tomorrow.
St. Michel then gets the nod for Paddy in that one after winning on the all-weather last time. Back to the turf at Bath in that 7:30. The final race on today's podcast then comes from Kempton. This is their 8:40. A mile and a half handicap here. We've got 10 runners who go down to contest this one on the poly track. Who's caught the eye here?
Yeah, I really like this race, to be honest, Sam, because it's very competitive. Same thing for Kempton on a Wednesday night. We've got a nice pot on offer, just over $7,000. Well, for me, the one that stood out here was the James Fanshawe horse, Pecking Order. Very, very shrewd connections. Yard that I am a big fan of. Up now off to a mark, or a handicap debut mark of 87. It's by no means thrown in here. But that said, it's only had 4 starts, and probably similar to the Sir Mark horse that we've just commented on, looks a real, real improver, and all has done is improve at racing. It is, like I said, off a mark of 87. It's a class 3, but it's $11,500 added race. Has got form on easy ground, but I mean that obviously doesn't come into it tomorrow, because we're on the artificial at Kempton. But Freddie and James Fanshawe have had a pretty good summer. I'm sure they were disappointed with Speedy Boarding in the Pretty Polly over at the Curragh at the weekend, but it was the first blot they've had on their copybook. They've had a very, very good summer. They're a very, very good partnership, to be honest. And I think in Pecking Order, really, really looks like this fast order offspring is certainly going in the right direction, and could take another step forward here tomorrow night, Sam.
Okay, pecking order is the one then has a layoff of 277 days to overcome. But as Paddy said there, very consistent on her first season. Hit the frame on all four starts to date so far. So that is the choice in the Kempton 840. Just give us a quick recap then, please, Paddy, of your four selections for the races we've looked at on Wednesday.
Yeah, a bit of value. I went for a Perth in the 340 with the Irish horse at the foot of the weights, Dr. Maloney. I just think he's got a lovely pull at the weights there. 10 stone 2 and back up and trip with the tongue strap on. He was my selection there. Salmon down at Worcester in the 350. I was going to go with the Nicky Henderson horse, Ballinure, both Nicky and Jeremiah McGrath. I've had a reasonably good summer on the over the jumps at some of the lower level tracks, at probably Southall in particular. And I just think they've landed on a nice race here. And same thing again, it's 10 grand added race, but he's only a 6-year-old, he's low mileage, and now up to a mark of 117. I still don't think the handicapper has collared him just yet. The 7:30 at Bath, though the ground is on the easy side, we've got to take that on board that San Michele will handle this. Similar comment applies. He's only had 6 runs, but he's improving with each run for Sir Mark, and of a mark of 76, he's got another slight step up in trip, but if he does go through conditions there tomorrow evening, could come out on top here again. And in the 8:40 at Kempton, I went with the James Fanshawe pecking order. Starts off handicap life in a class 3 of a mark of 87, but has only had the 4 runs. Looks a real improver, and if James Fanshawe has got this one ready after a slight layoff, I think could have this race within its grasp.
Excellent stuff. There we are then. Thoughts of Paddy Aspel ahead of Wednesday's action. Remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. on Wednesday, where it's Catterick, Perth and Worcester in the afternoon, then Bath, Kempton and an Irish card at Ferry House in the evening. Thank you very much for that, Paddy, and best of luck.
No problem. Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.